Okay, we are still early. Huh? We still got another 5 or 6 minutes huh, before 8 o'clock. So those who have brought the fruits on, huh, you can actually prepare, then get ready. Then we will start off with the puja at 8 o'clock. Huh?
OK
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Another 3 minutes, huh? Then we can start. Huh? We are still early. Huh? So, tonight is the second day of January 2015. Huh? So, Friday. Yeah. Ah, come, Maya, come. Oh, you also wet a bit, huh? It's okay, come in. Yeah. We are still early, huh? Another 2 minutes ago. Come. You can dry your whatever. Huh? There is a towel. Huh? Tonight, we will actually have a very important discussion, huh? About the whole of the Bodhisattva way, and I will explain to you all the condition behind all this so that you all can understand. A lot of people don't have the right understanding, so they thought this is a very difficult way and they did not even think about it. But when you come to understand, you'll be very surprised. Actually, it's very easy. But it takes very long. That's why you must have a lot of perseverance, then a lot of faith, then you must have a lot of love and compassion. And with that, everything will just happen. Even though we talk about eons and eons and eons, but in terms of cultivation, this is very normal. Because a lot of Sammasambuddha, they took much, much more longer way. Especially Amitabha Buddha. It took him 12 cycle to perfect all those things and to complete everything. But because it was done in such a way that is like to many people like it's impossible, and yet he can complete it. So if he can complete, there is no other Sammasambuddha who cannot complete, is it? Because his vow is very, very extensive and very, very out of the usual. And yet he was able to perfect them until all this Pure Land become possible. So that was actually a breakthrough, a great breakthrough. That's why the Pure Land teaching is very, very popular and very unique. The main thing that people don't understand is because all these great beings, the Bodhisattvas and the Sammasambuddhas, their nature are very unique, very special. So if you know how to connect, if you know how to develop affinity, actually they can help you in many, many ways. So this is just a briefing for those who are early. After when we start, we will go through the whole thing. Then you have to participate. You have to ask whatever question you have. Don't be shy. Because this is a very rare condition. When there is condition, if you don't ask, when this form of mind is no more, you want to ask also, you got no more condition to ask. So while the form of mind is still around, make full use of it. Jin Hao, come. We are about to start already. So yours is the last one. You can put in the garland. Okay, with that, I think it's 8 o'clock, isn't it? Exactly 8 o'clock. Okay, yeah. We prepare for puja. Maybe we give Si An and Mi Feng the opportunity to light the candle at the incense. Come, both of you. You all haven't done the puja here. Come, come. You light the candle, Si An light the incense. Here. Light it from there. Okay. You light the red candle. And sit on like the incense. This flower is from Padmasuri and Teo. Very nice. We should rejoice with all the offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. It's okay. Just leave it there. Okay, we can start. Go. Padmasuri, too. Go. Offer the tree first. Huiro, go. Never mind. Just line up. Line up. Then we pass it this way. Take the tree first. Offer to Kuan Yin, Buddha, and present. Sadhu, 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 yeah. Then that flower. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 No, no, no. That one is incense. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The flower here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Never mind, never mind. Here, flower. The flower is here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, you can sit down. We rejoice with all the offering. Then now we will do the puja. So the chanting book is here. Take from inside. Alicia, come. We just about to start the chanting. Turn to page 4. We pay respect to Triple Gem first. We will chant Namo Tassa 3 times. Then after that, Namo Sakyamuni Buddha, Namo Kwan Sing Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa. Then we start the chanting. Okay, compose your mind. Develop the faith, Sada, Virya. Then pay respect, mindfully. The monk puja. Sangham puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo 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 Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Okay, we will now start the chanting. Turn to page 4. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Kamesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Okay, we are now offered the padipa puja. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamang dangsena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamo nodang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna kanda guno petang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayamin adindasa Siripada sarurohe Pujemi buddhang kasumena mena Punnena mithena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikampitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatumuttamang. Okay, we turn to the last page, page 18. We make use of this understanding of the offering to make our aspiration. Okay, Page 18. The significance of offering of light. We chant together. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Then we will invoke the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of all this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then, sharing and transfers of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much for those who just came in. We just finished the offering and the puja chanting. Then now we will start the invitation or invocation of the devas. You turn to page 6. Today, I think, pass the mic to Envy. I forgot her name also. Thursday class, very easy to remember. Tuesday class, we have Envy just came in. So we will get Envy to invoke the Pali, but I will read the English first. After I read the English, then she can start. Invocation to the devas. In the universe in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Okay, English, we have that.
Samantha Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saggamok Kadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Ittipiso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati
tattha deva manusanang buddho bhagavate svakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanayiko pacatang veditatbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango ujupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango samicipatipanno bhagavato sakkasango yadidang chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. We will now end the puja by paying respect to the Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. Just relax yourself, body and mind, then we will start. So tonight's session is a very unique and special session, because I have promised you all many months since, I think, before the Amazon trip, I had already knew that there are causes and conditions for such a teaching to come to this world. And this particular condition is very unique because it actually come about because when I was sharing the Buddha Dharma earlier on, somehow this particular topic keep on arising. Then very funny thing is many Kayana Metta, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, they wrote to me. They asked me about this thing. A few of them, they even told me before what happened. They dare not even dream of talking about this way. They are very contented with even the sainthood way. But somehow things happened. Then deep inside, they knew that there is something that they have to do. Then because of all this condition, I saw the email, then I replied. Then later on, the most strong condition is when I went to the bookshop. I went to this, what they call, Ciji, they got this Jingshi, selling books on. I went with my wife to this Tropicana mall. They have this there. They're very funny. I just pick up one book. And this book, talk about the Wuliang Yi Jing. I don't even really know what this Wuliang Yi Jing was all about, but I knew it was from the Pure Land teaching. So I flipped over the book, then I saw this sutta. Then when I read the sutta, I say, how come it's like that one? It first talk about the cultivation of the bodhisattva, the great beings, how they cultivate this bodhisattva way. Then there's another section talk about the perfection of Pusen Pusa. It's all in the sutta. Then when I read the one on the bodhisattva way on, which I wrote to you all later on, it was so beautiful. No? Because everything that is written there, I realized I have already done them. So because of that, when that condition arise, when I wrote that sharing out, there was a lot more Kayanamita who has the affinity and the past. They felt something and like their nature somehow knew this is something that they have to seriously really go into and develop the understanding. Then when I started to share some of this bodhisattva way, I came to know many, many cultivators and living beings. Because of their lack of knowledge and understanding of this way, many cultivators do not even dream of walking this way, because it's like something that is impossible. And they always have this, what they call, thought that tell them, not for me, impossible, understand? But this is a fallacy. This is what the thought will say. That's why I say, when you understand this teaching, when you understand all the great, what they call, vows, perfection and virtues of all these great beings, especially four pusaka, which are the great bodhisattvas and samasambuddha, they are so unique and so special. So much so, you only need to develop the very sincere faith, the sincerity and the diligence to cultivate affinity and connect to their nature, and they will help you walk this way. The only thing you need is the three things I always talk about. The faith, the sincerity, and the diligence. Means you must persevere. Maybe I write it down. First one is what? Sada, the faith. You must have very strong faith in the triple gem. Then, in this way, then you have to be very sincere. Then the third one is what? Diligence or perseverance. Diligence. Perseverance. When you have these three, then with some basic understanding and wisdom, you can connect. You can develop the what they call affinity with all these great beings. Then when the affinity is there, this way become very easy. That's why you need to cultivate affinity with Triple Gem. That's why the Buddha Sakyamuni also asks you to take refuge. Refuge is actually very strong affinity. But many Theravadan practitioners, they fail to understand what the Triple Gem meant. The Triple Gem actually represent all of the Buddhas, all of the truth, all the teachings, and all of the enlightened disciple of all Buddhas. That's why the Triple Gem is very unique and very beautiful. So this three things is not difficult. if you already have the understanding.
So as you cultivate, as you move along, the power of Dhamma, the condition will arise. And when you have that, what they call affinity with these great beings, somewhere along the way, just like this life, when you determine to cultivate this Bohi mind. You remember when we went to Taiwan, those that went on the spiritual trip with me, you can remember not? The Zhongtai Chanshi. You know what was written on the leaflet or not? They built all this. The main reason is for what? Remember not? He said many people will come and visit. Remember? Then you only need what? Bodhi Sing. What is Bodhi Sing? Bohi thought, anasana. The Bohi mind. They only have to arise that single thought of Bohi to walk this way. The world will be never, never lacking in all the great beings. Because it all starts from that one single Bohi thought. The single thought of Bohi to realize enlightenment, then to have this compassion to walk this way. I will connect it to the Bodhisattva precepts and the vows. The Bodhisattva precepts and the vows are very important. These initial precepts and the vows will actually take you through already. But later on, as you walk that way, you will modify all these basic vows and include all those special vows that you have, your nature has. You will come to know later on. That's why every Bodhisattva is different. Every Sammasambuddha is different. But the four basic vows are the same. And they complement the three types of pure precepts, Bodhisattva precepts. So I will explain them later. So now I will read to you some of the email. So that you all can develop the faith, the understanding. Then we can actually continue with this sharing. Then in between, if you got any question, you can ask. You are free to ask. So make full use of this condition. Just like I mentioned just now. While this form of mind is still around, whatever you want to know about this way and the Buddha Dhamma, you should ask. Otherwise, when conditioned no more, you want to ask also too late already. Just like Ananda. When Sakyamuni mentioned that he will come to pass, remember? After 3 months, 90 days, Ananda was crying in grief because he was only a Sotapan. And he has so much emotion. Until he forgot to ask the Buddha all those important questions. Last minute only want to ask. Then luckily Anuruddha, the other 10 disciples of the Buddha, advised Ananda to ask a few key questions. After the passing away of Sakyamuni Buddha, he asked the Buddha, who shall we follow? The Buddha said, only two things. The Sutta and the Vinaya means all the discourse that he has taught and the precept that he has laid down. The main, what they call core precept, you must hold on to, is it? But the minor precept is it, you can actually do away with them depending on the condition and the situation. Then after that, I think Ananda was also told to ask a few other things. Then of course, he wanted the Buddha to stay back, remember? But the Buddha said, no point. Because by then, when the Buddha made the decision, he told Ananda, this physical body, the Nimanakaya of the Buddha, he said, it's already like a worn-out bullock cart.
waiting to collapse anytime. So no point. So because of her, sorry, Sakyamuni Buddha's great compassion and love for the whole sentient beings, he really, really, out of love and compassion, didn't have enough rest. So that's why he passed away earlier, at the age of 80. Whereas most of the disciples, they were able to live on until the age of 120. So that was the condition behind. So now, like I advise, when there is condition, make full use of it. Okay, I will read to you one of these email that I have compiled and sent out. Okay, I think there are two. Okay, I will read you this one first. Sutta of the Innumerable Meaning, Wuliang Yi Jing, Chapter 1 on Virtue. You have to listen to this, because when you go this way, when you take the Bodhisattva precept, start the Bodhi thought, the Bodhi mind, finally, your whole cultivation will embody all this that is mentioned in the Wuliang Yi Jing, Sutta or Innumerable Meanings. The chapter 1 on virtue. So actually the whole of cultivation center on virtue, nothing else. From virtue, the whole teaching comes about. The Sutta said, true Bodhisattva are wise beings with great compassion. That is the opening statement. Then he described, the Sutta described, their minds are tranquil, ever abiding in meditation, peaceful, free of desire, and immune from any kind of delusion or wrong thought. Theirs is a mind of transcendental purity with vast and profound vows. They hold these vows unwavering for countless aeons. Having realized great wisdom, they penetrate all laws and come to understand all the innumerable teachings. They bring refreshing coolness and help cleanse away ignorance. With boundless compassion, they work to relieve and liberate suffering beings. Bodhisattvas are living beings' true friend, mentor, and guides. They help and enable living beings to cultivate a great field of merits and blessings. Without being asked, they offer guidance to living beings. They are living beings' place of refuge, security, and happiness. They uphold the Buddha's precept of purity and never break them, even at the cost of their life. They never become angry, even when harmed, cursed, or insulted. Their mind abides in Dhamma day and night. They abide by their vows of saving the countless living beings and purifying the world of all negativity and unwholesome activity of body, speech, and mind. Then after that, I receive a few of this email. One of them is, I also don't know who already, I forgot the name, because I also put the X there. But it's one of the Kayanimitas. It's definitely lady. Because all these are written by Lady Kayanimitas. The title they put is Arahanta and Bodhisattva. She said, I've been resisting giving the issue about the Arahanta or Bodhisattva path any serious thought since I am just a Puttajana. now. No wisdom yet. I had intended to wait until I had some measure of wisdom after attaining the path and fruition before deciding on the specific path to take. However, there seems to be some unease. Each day I say, for the time being, I only aspire towards arahantship. I have no wisdom, courage, or confidence whatsoever to walk the bodhisattva path. Then last Friday, that was 10th of October, he said last Friday means 9th of October. Sorry, it could be any of this day. Last Friday when I read your email about bodhisattvas, I don't know why, but I was so touched and moved to tears that my tears flow freely. I am similarly moved to tears each time I recite mindfully Pusian's 10 great vows in Mandarin. After your explanation now, I know they are tears of gratitude and joy. Then on Monday, I receive a WhatsApp message reminder from a very patient Mahayana friend who has been asking me to... He is in Mandarin, Siu Puti Sing, Sing Pusa Tao. You understand, huh? Anybody don't understand Mandarin? Or you don't understand Mandarin? Siu Puti Sing is to cultivate the Bodhi mind. Understand, huh? Sing Pusa Tao is to walk the path of the Bodhisattva way. Understand, huh? Yeah? So these two reminders come back. Means to aspire for the Bodhisattva way and cultivate the Bodhisattva path. Somehow this time I didn't resist, and I knew humbly before the Buddha Rupang and expressed very sincerely my initial aspiration of vow to cultivate the Bodhisattva way, and humbly asked Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the great compassionate Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, to help and guide me along the way. Then when I sat down to meditate, the Heart Sutta kept playing non-stop in my mind, even when I was sleeping. This lasted for a few days. I really need all the guidance and help to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. Hope I have and can cultivate the paramis to support me along this way. Then the second part is on delusion and dream state. When I contemplated on all the dreams that I had, I realized that when this egoic self is not the main character in the dream, I have complete awareness of the dream. From when it's about to start right to the end, when the dream ended, I can even make a critique of the dream in the dream state itself. However, when this egoic self or mind is the main character in the dream, such detached awareness of its arising is lost, and I was completely sucked right into the dream and got myself entangled in all the emotions and feelings. This delusion is extremely strong. An example is a dream I had yesterday morning. I was climbing up a very, very tall ladder. Then I was about 3 steps below the peak, the summit. I felt very dizzy and was about to fall off the ladder. When I looked down, I can't see the ground. Then I sensed the feeling of fear arising. Then suddenly, a very strong voice said, "You are not dizzy and you are not falling." Instantly, all feeling of dizziness and fear of falling vanished without a trace. In the dream, I was totally amazed at the sudden and complete change. After that, I was able to climb up and down the ladder without any dizziness or fear of falling down. Ratio, thank you so much for taking the time to read my ramblings. Your patience and compassion inspire and drive me on to cultivate sincerely with respect. Yeah. So this is the email. You should rejoice. We say sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So there are many of you. Maybe you may not know your past because you have not really connect and develop the ability to recall your past. Not really in that sense of like recalling past life, no. Recall means after you connect, all this understanding will come back to you, understand or not? It's not reading about past life, no. Whatever you have cultivated, via this spiritual nature is different from karmic nature, karma. I explained under the talk, remember, Thursday class? I think the transcript is going to be ready soon. You should read that again. Who are you? What are you? How the two natures, spiritual nature and karmic nature, how they interact, and how the form and mind come about. And who are you? What are you? All this is very clearly explained. So like I explained that, karma is the moment you are born, like the Buddha said, you are born of it, here to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of the karma. Then when the Buddha said you are born of your karma, he is not referring to your true nature. He is referring to your form and mind, the karmically conditioned form and mind. Now that one is subject to karma. Then after that, there is another nature, which is the spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature is not like karmic nature, like I explained in the talk. It's now in the transcript. It's very easy, very clearly explained. This one, you cannot inherit anything. Not until you connect with your true nature. When you connect, means you know how to meditate, you know how to silence your mind, then that mind touch that nature through that silent mind. Then the moment that happened, that form and mind will understand a lot of things. That form and mind will progress very fast. It will understand what sati is. It will understand what the nature is. Then once you go through cessation, you would have passed by the enlightenment stage, especially the sainthood. But if you have cultivated all this before, you will move across very fast and you will reach back to your past cultivation pretty fast. That's how you inherit. Then you like, you can understand many things. It's like you can actually connect, and just like the karmic nature, you inherit them. So when you inherit this perfection and cultivation that you have done in the past, the Dhamma will be understood very fast, very easily. Then there are many things that you realize in the past you never understood, but all of a sudden you can understand them. And there are a lot of things you will come to know you never learned this life, but you can understand them. And you know how they actually arise and how it passes away and how this thing is possible. Just like what happened to me since the year 1986. The teacher come, the guide come, the book come. Then everything just happened. Then within that 3 years, when I connect and develop the understanding, all this past understanding came to me. Then I just understand them. Then when I read the sutta, when I hear truth, I just understand. Then even not written in book, there is no like doubt or fear, nothing. Because the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, and there is no doubt one, very clear. So because of that, all this you have to understand when the time comes. That's why you will never know who you are until you connect. You remember Brother Song? He's the only male one. But he always talked to me, he never write me any email. So he initially also have this thought, Brother Mandi might cannot understand. He always say he very child. But the moment he connect, he moves so fast. Yeah. How is it possible? Things that he never understood. Last time he said he read my notes, transcript, the dependent origination, Patijasamupada, 6 times. He cannot understand. That all of a sudden when he connect, he read the note, he understand. Yeah. Then many things just happen. And he is now so clear about thought-based meditation and awareness-based meditation. And he keep on having that joy for 2-3 months after he connect. And he keep on sharing with people and me and reporting all those things that a normal person cannot understand. Yeah. So these are the things that are possible. So your time will come. Yeah. You only need to develop the faith. Yeah? The 3 things I wrote on the board. Huh? Sadha, then the sincerity, then the diligence. Yeah? Just cultivate. Don't try to know. Forget about all the thought telling you, this way is so difficult, impossible, not for me. No. Later on, I will read to you. Yeah? We are also very lucky because when we went to Taiwan, at this Fa Gu San, Sen Yen Fa Si, remember? I saw this book, The Bodhisattva Path, Direction to Bodhi, to Buddhahood. Yeah. When I flicked the book, I saw that it was very simple and very easily understood. Yeah, this is written for people who are keen to walk on the path, and they are very simple and they are very basic. And this is where you start, and this is how you start. So that's why I will afterwards read to you this one. Huh? I hope I have the time. Huh? We're almost 1 hour gone. Okay, I better finish out this email first before it's too late. Huh? Okay, now I will read my reply to her. Yeah? I wrote to her, I said, Mahasadhu to you for your great faith and good path, and I really rejoice with your wholesomeness. The Bodhisattva way is not difficult when you understand, and there is a lot of joy too. Just like what the Heart Sutta said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Based on what you had shared below, you definitely had a good past condition and affinity to walk this way. So do not allow the thought to deter you. Cultivate great affinity with Kuan Yin and other great beings and Sammasambuddhas, and make the appropriate aspiration and vow to go this way. Then everything will just follow and fall into place. Be sincere, have faith, and persevere with strong resolve, then all will be well, because their nature will help bless, protect, and guide you. Always remember, you have to ask for their blessing, protection, and guidance. You know why or not? Huh? Why you need this tree? Huh? Why? Blessing, you know, you need to be blessed. Huh? Eh? Protection. Why must you ask them to protect you? Huh? Your true nature never dies. Eh? So protect what? Protect this form of mind. So this form of mind is very fragile. Understand? Like I always tell you, very vulnerable, very delicate. Eh? Delicate, is it? Yeah? Like easily break, or easily the condition disappear. Then you call die. Because this form of mind is just a vehicle, understand? For you to come, to develop the cultivation and all those things and the perfection. And every life you come as a human being, you got not much time, you know. Because you go through the 3 phases, understand? As a kid, you don't know anything. So then you go to school. Then you finish your study, then you come out, you work. Then you forgot about your duty, your spiritual cultivation. So only those who have the vow and the past perfection and cultivation, when they come, their nature, their karma will take them along. Then they know how to actually do this work early. Then you have to connect. After connect, then only you can continue. So every life you come, actually, you got not much time. And a lot of people don't even have that condition. So if you don't have their protection, I tell you, this form and mind, before you even connect, chances is already gone. Like this life, I myself can recall no less than 3 incidents. I supposed to die before I even connect. So it is because of this nature's affinity with these great beings, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. That's why it has actually protected this nature through its what they call vow, nature's law. And they don't have to be around. And it will connect. Then life after life, because I make this vow aspiration and I seek their protection by the power of merits, wholesomeness, understanding. So when you seek their blessing, protection and guidance, their nature will continuously guide you, protect you and bless you. That's why you are like very, very well protected, very well, like very lucky, very blessed and very, what they call, properly guided. Then like everything will fall into place. That's why you must know how to develop all this affinity and connection. Then after that, I say, we'll explain to you more when we meet in person. There are many others too who are interested in going this way too. Maybe we can gather them together and we can have a separate private session on this topic. By and with metta always. So that was the condition why I organized this private session. Then I promise you all it has to be after Ermesan trip. Then after Ermesan trip came back, we had a very good session too. Then the year end holiday we had this break. So I was thinking this year end holiday break was the best. So initially a few other dates, like many Kayamita cannot make it. Then the final date was today, which was, I think, very good. Most of us can make it. And we should thank Padmasuri for suggesting the date. Sadhu, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after that, she replied to me. The title was Request for Guidance and Reporting. He said, "Dear Brother Teo, I'm filled with joy after reading your email. I'm most thankful for my good karma to have you guiding us on this Bodhisattva way. It is a wonderful idea to have a private session with others who aspire on the same path. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu." Then with heartfelt gratitude and respect. Then I wrote back to her. I said, "Do listen to yesterday's Wu Ping Jing Si recording." Yesterday means 12 October. I wrote to her 13 October. Sharing by me, because they were conditioned to share some of the below understanding. Please listen to the later part of the talk. And many things just happened on that day too. Just like the clang talk on the emptiness. There were some forces initially that tried to disrupt the talk via power failure at Wu Ping Jing Si, starting at 2:30 p.m. until about 3:30 p.m. By and with metta always. So the talk in clang on emptiness too, the same. It was interrupted. Initially, we had to start late because the chanting end late. Then after that, the mic got problem. But all this, when we echoed and flow, when we didn't react, it just passed by. Then everything fall back into place. Then Wu Ping Jing Si also same. The power failure actually started earlier. Then I remember Stephanie called me. He said, "Brother Teo, shall we cancel that class?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Power failure." Like Wu Ping Jing Si, you know, without power is dark. No aircon, hot. no fan also stopping. Then he said, nobody turn up yet, except Man Yuan. Then I said, never mind, we continue. I said, because we already promised people that we will have a class. I said, I will come. Then we were there, really, no power. So 2:30 until 3:30. I said, never mind, we start meditation first. Because normally we start our sutta first, satipatthana. Then that day I said, we got no power, we start meditation first. Then as I give some instruction and as the meditation proceed, then the power came back. Then after that we had a very good sharing. And that sharing, somehow the condition arise. Because that day, I tell you, the thunder was very, very, very loud. The rain and the thunder. After we actually got back the power, you know what happened? And I started the sharing after the meditation. The moment when I want to talk about this Bodhisattva way and all those things, all of a sudden outside, the rain was very heavy, pouring like anything. Then all of a sudden there was a very, very loud thunder, and the whole power trip again. But that one was because of the higher being, the joy. Then they got it connected back. I think Mimi was there with her husband. They came to join us later. So many things just happen. Nature is like that. Understand? There's nothing psychic about this type of thing. It's just nature's way, because they want to know all this too. They want to be told about all these things too. So there were many conditions for all this to arise. And because it can also help many of you, so do listen to that sharing. Then in between also, I think the Thursday class and Tuesday class, there were many parts where the condition arise, I just share. Then after that, I wrote back. I said the below is for your personal sharing only. I wrote to most people whom I think may be interested and have the condition. Then I said, do reply to me directly to let me know if you are interested to join us for a private session to discuss the below topic. I intend to hold this private session to discuss the below topic after the Amazon trip. We'll forward another rather good reply from another Kayame for sharing by all later. The other email is this one. I read to you. As mentioned in my earlier email, this is another email for your personal sharing. Hope this can help strengthen your faith and resolve further. By and with metta always. So here I wrote. This was another reply. The Kayamita wrote Sukiho to his brother. I am very thankful for your compassion towards Kayanimitta in every way in the Dhamma sharing. And although we may be seen quiet during Q&A session, it may appear that we do not understand, but right to you, I speak for myself. Each time I attend any of your classes, you seem to know what my doubts and questions are. And I leave home with the joy, and the following day filled with clarity. And as mentioned in your below sharing, the mind abides in Dhamma day and night. The first thing when I wake up in the morning, Dhamma is there. Whenever my mind is free, Dhamma is also there. And even when I woke up in the night for toilet, the Dhamma or chanting or mantra comes to my mind first. It has become like a duty. Then I reply, I say, dear sister, I rejoice your wholesomeness and good understanding, sadhu, and do keep up with the good progress by and with metta always. Then there's another email which is also very important. This one also written by another sister. Okay. After I send out this, I wrote to Kayamita. I said, below Dropbox links for sharing by all. A very good talk. Please listen attentively to understand its deep meaning. I think this is a talk in Klang on emptiness. That was spoken on the 3rd of October 2014. About 3 months back. She wrote, he said, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you very much for another inspiring talk, Radio. Your talk has given me a step closer to understanding emptiness, though I must say my understanding is still very thought-based. I am slowly learning to appreciate the idea of condition arising in all phenomena. I see it clearly in my plants as I enjoy gardening. The challenge is applying it to my daily life and daily activity. I have to constantly remind myself and reflect on it, of course. I have always wanted to understand what anatta is and what emptiness is, though I often get confused. But I didn't give up. So far, I managed to listen to the recording of your talk twice, and I intend to listen to it again. Please allow me to clarify. Would you say Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are always subject to? Sorry. Would you say Buddhas and Pusa or Bodhisattvas are also subject to condition arising? Some say our Sakyamuni Buddha exists in the Buddha land. Please comment. The third question is, I was told that an Arahant will cease to exist within a week during the collapse of the five aggregates. I would like to hear your views on this, please. Thank you in advance. May you be well and happy always. So this one is written by a lady from Singapore, Kayamita. So what do you think? The first question, would you say Buddhas and all the great Bodhisattvas are also subject to condition arising? What do you think? Because she don't understand the question. She don't know what the Buddha and Bodhisattva is. She only heard of the words and the name. So you can never fathom all this. Not until when you cultivate. Because she don't really have much cultivation. Early on she asked a lot of questions and I told her, forget about the question. Focus on your concentration. Sorry, on your cultivation. That is more important. Because a lot of these questions, they are all from the thought. I read to you my reply, then maybe we can discuss it a bit so that it can help you. Because in my reply, I remember I forgot to answer his last question. Okay. I replied to her, I said, dear sister, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are embodiment of their spiritual perfection, which become their spiritual nature, and the five aggregate of form and mind that they take to come into existence as Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are not them. Understand that? This is the most important understanding. Don't be gullible. Don't go and think that the form is the Buddha and the Bodhisattva. Sakyamuni Buddha form at that time. That's why he said, he who sees me didn't see the Buddha. He who sees my Dhamma sees the Buddha. Understand? So a lot of things people cannot understand. So I explained to her this. Then she actually picked it up very fast. Then I said, the five aggregate of form and mind, or the living being that they take to come into existence as Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are not them, but only the karmically conditioned segmented form and mind life of theirs in that particular life. And they are impermanent because each of these is just a karmically conditioned form and mind entity. Only that physical form they take when they arise is subject to change or condition arising. But their spiritual nature is different because it is just a nature born of their cultivation and perfection. It is not a being. The form and mind that comes and cultivate then connect back to their nature to inherit all the understanding. Only then can it transform the form and mind into a Buddha or a Bodhisattva. But their form are not their true nature. Their form is only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for them to arise, use and perform the function of a Buddha or a Bodhisattva while in this world. Hope this helps. So this first part, understand, huh? Okay? Because the true nature of the Buddha and the Bodhisattva are the embodiment of their cultivation and perfection, and that one nobody can take away, recorded in the spiritual nature. Yeah. That's why that nature is very different, very powerful. It has its, what they call, virtue, perfection and wisdom. That's why it's capable of very, very unique and powerful things because of their vow. Pass the mic to Chui. No, for the recording, otherwise it cannot be recorded. Even we can hear you, but it cannot be recorded. Eh? Thanks, Chui. Yeah.
Sorry, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Just to go back again,
yeah.
Form is not their true nature.
Yeah.
And they are just karmically conditioned.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Okay.
I can understand form is not their true nature,
yeah.
But karmically conditioned seems to mean that there is some kind of a karmic inheritance somewhere that comes into being, and how do they use that karmic conditioning to walk that path?
I think I understand your question. Thank you, Jui. Off the mic, cordless mic. You see, like I explained in many parts of my talk, that's why now you must pay attention so that you understand. You remember the Thursday class talk I draw Sister Joyce with a skirt, you remember? I say, is that Joyce? So when the Buddha and Bodhisattva, when they come, just like this life and this nature come, this form and mind is not me, understand? But this is karmically conditional, understand? Through karmic nature. Well, without karma, there is no form and mind, understand? You need a form and mind to come. And this form and mind is your tool and your vehicle. And so, vehicle means this physical body, like a car, vehicle, take you around, understand? Because it has the sense basis, to allow you to arise sense door consciousness, allow your consciousness to stay within. That's why the form and mind, through the condition, it arises. And this is born of your karma, head, your karma condition, supported by karma. You are what you are because of karma. This form and mind is subject to all this, understand? But not that true nature. But that true nature you cannot connect until you know how to meditate, until you know how to silence your mind. The moment you connect and you know how to silence your mind, then only you can connect to that true nature. And then only you can inherit all of your cultivation. But not everybody has that cultivation and perfection. Many need to cultivate, need to perfect it. Just like your karmic nature, you need to slowly, slowly grow it. Step by step, perfect it. Then this karmic nature is very important. That's why those great beings, bodhisattvas, those great cultivators, like the Sammasambuddha, they have already known the teaching long before they took the vow. Yes or no? They already understood. That's why they can become arahant anytime. And because of their love and compassion for the living being, they vow life after life to liberate sentient beings. Out of love and compassion for them, they just do this work. Yeah. And this is your first vow. The four Bodhisattva precepts, the four very, very important vows to walk this way. The first one is this one. You vow to take across the innumerous sentient beings, to liberate them, to free them from all suffering. So this first vow, born of love and compassion is very important. Because this will create the mind for you to come back, Anasana. Otherwise, if you already have that wisdom as an arahant or beyond, when this form of mind ceases, you know what happens, Anasana? You realize Nibbana. You parinibbana. You don't die like normal being. There is no rebirth of consciousness, Anasana. But because of your vow, you vow to come back in another form of mind, Anasana, to liberate beings, sentient beings. That's why that has the power to actually condition the form of mind to come out. And that form of mind that come out is not born of delusion, not born of a rebirth consciousness. Understand not? Understand not? Because of your compassion, your love. That's why this pure mind can come out. Then the vow will create a form of mind. That's why this pure mind with the love and compassion can actually go into that karmically conditioned form of mind. People need rebirth consciousness to go in, understand not? The death consciousness through delusion condition rebirth consciousness going. But the bodhisattva, they don't have rebirth consciousness. They are pure mind, they are vow. That's why this pure mind is their perfection. Their love, their compassion. And this is the one that went in. That's why when I was very young, my mind got nothing, even until the age of 4 or 5. Yeah, I can still remember. There is nothing inside there. Yeah. Until when they transfer me down to one of the notorious town in Alostar. At the age of 6 only, this so-called mundane mind start to interact. Then learn all the bad habits and all the funny things. That's why you weren't the one. When that mind come, it's so pure, so different. Then this karmically conditioned form of mind is just a vehicle, and it's just a tool for you to come. But because of karma, you have this perfection. Because you understand the teaching, you every life you come, you know to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. You cultivate the vows. You cultivate the three type of pure precepts. The three type of pure precepts. You must know them. Huh? See, to walk this path, you must start with these three types of pure precepts. Precepts. The first one is you have to actually undertake the training rule to avoid all evil. Avoid all evil. Then the second one is to cultivate all virtue. That one is you were sure thing is the advice of the Buddha, purify the mind. No. You do that, you become arahant, you gone. You don't go in. Just purify your mind. Because by then your mind already you know how to actually develop the enlightenment already. But you have to keep the precept, you undertake the training rules to actually liberate living beings from all suffering. The precept to liberate living beings from all suffering. From all suffering. You just do this. It's just like you keep your precept. I undertake the training rule to liberate all living beings, all sentient beings, from all suffering. That's why This is perfecting the ten perfection, understand? Avoiding all evil. You think easier. Yeah, every time you come before you connect, before the mundane mind collapse, that mundane mind still got delusion. Understand? So you constantly will have to cultivate this. Then when you want to cultivate all virtue, is to perfect your ten perfections. Understand? That's why you have to cultivate until your nature is very powerful. And these three things will allow you to have that condition. Then you combine with the four basic vows. These three types of pure precept plus the four basic vows. These are very important. So the four basic vows of a bodhisattva. The first one just now I told you already. What is it? Same as this one. But this is a precept, understand? This is a vow, understand? Vow to liberate all beings. A vow and a precept is different, understand? I undertake the training rule to liberate living beings. Every life you come with this form in mind, you undertake that training rule. You continue to do it as a. Here, vow means you continue with that vow to do this work, understand? Until you become Sammasambuddha, understand? So these two are different. Yeah. Then after that, you have to develop the other three. The other three afterwards I will share with you. But this first one is very important. Okay. Yes. Pass the mic to her. Yeah.
I seem to have a little bit of a misunderstanding or whatever, because I don't seem to see the Buddha as telling his disciples at that time to do all this, you know, and most of them, as from the little I know, went on and became arahats. Is it purely a Mahayana approach to doing things?
Okay. Thank you for your question. You see, this is the question that will come from knowledge, understand not? From what you have been taught, what you have read and all those things. That's why when you cultivate and develop further understanding, then you will know how to actually filter all this. Your this come from the thought, understand not? The thought that don't have the understanding. That's why he said we refer to what? From what little that I have read. Means the sutta or what the Theravada tell you, another. You're the Theravada, they only heard about the teaching on what? That there is a Sammasambuddha that perfected the ten perfection and he became a Buddha. But how he do it was never taught. Understand? Huh? Then that's why you say almost all the disciples, they were either first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, third stage of sainthood, or arahant. Understand? Huh? Then you ask yourself, if a Sammasambuddha's disciple also cannot walk the path of bodhisattva, then who else can walk? Understand? Huh? There are so many at that time, but people don't talk about it because at that time, the teaching that was more important and more relevant was, like the Buddha said, the handful of leaf. Because it was to cater for the sasana, understand not? You need this new breed of cultivator, understand not? Who understand the teaching, then can develop the enlightenment. Then only they have the condition to walk this way, understand not? This way is not unique only to the Mahayana, understand? The Mahayana was able to actually come out with all this is because they have all these great bodhisattvas and Buddhas. And they have walked before. That's why that teaching come about to complement Arasana, what Sakyamuni has done. Sakyamuni's job is to develop the sasana, Arasana. That 4,500 to 5,000 years of sasana, so that it can produce this. That's why you look at the Mahayana teaching, they talk about the Huayan Sansen. The Sifang Sansen is different, no? Arasana. The Western paradigm also got the three grippings. So. The Western paradigm is Amitabha Buddha, then Manjushri, then the other one is Quan Si. Yeah. Whereas the Huayan Sansen is Sakyamuni Buddha, as the Buddha in the center. No? And they are supported by two more. No? Yeah. If I'm not wrong, it's supposed to be Quan Sing and Pusen. Yeah. Or Manjushri and Pusen. Manjushri and Pusen. Oh, that one is Da Si Zi, sorry. Quan Sing and Da Si Zi, a Western paradise. And this one is Manjushri and Pusen. But the funny thing is, Kuan Yin's nature also came. That's like Amitabha, Kuan Yin, and Maitreya. Their nature also very strong, this era. That's why all this has its condition of arising. Hmm. So coming back to your question, try to understand that the cultivation comes from investigation, understanding what this path is all about, Anasana. If you don't develop the faith, you start to have doubt and create through the thought this type of question, it is not going to help you, Anasana. Is going to make you less committed in the sense that because you still got that behind you without you realizing it. When you have faith means doesn't mean you believe though. When you have faith means you have an open mind. Then you find out. Understand not? You investigate, you do. Then you see whether anything happened or not. That's why these people who wrote to me, they have the faith, they do, they connect. And they will come to know what is this all about. Many of them. Jui, yes. I'll pass the mic to her.
Very sorry about this.
Don't worry, but, don't worry. It's nothing wrong with the question.
But I was thinking that, you know, the Arahat way is already like on that way, except that this one adds a different dimension to the Arahat way. But I only
so
speak for myself.
Question?
I
what
only speak for myself.
I know. What is your question?
We can't even get there yet because that path is there. And you have to reach a certain level before you can actually
so what is your
undertake
question?
The training rule to liberate.
What is
all.
Your,
my
what
question
is, your question?
Is you have to reach a certain stage before you get on to making this vow and this practicing this three types of pure precepts.
Yeah.
You know? Is that right? I just think that I'm so far behind. You know?
Okay. Fair enough.
Where do we go from here, if at all?
Yeah.
Or is it a futile thing? We don't have that path. We cannot do it. Just get on with doing the best you can. And
now I will maybe answer your question. You listen again carefully. Just now, when I begin, what did I say? A lot of people also like what you say. I am no way far behind. I say you never know what your path is until you determine to do it. Then when you connect, you will get a shock of your life. You don't know who you are until you try. You look at Song and many others. That's why don't go and allow the thought to have this conditioning. When the condition arises and the heart wants to do, you better go and do. Because the heart will know, not the thought. Understand that? So all this, like I said, when there is condition, you will know what to do. Then I will read to you on one part. This will give you a very important understanding. Because this one talk about the great blessings or having this bohi mind to even walk this path. Just give me a minute. Okay, you listen to this. Who got this book? Ah, you got this book. Yeah. It's on page 32. It is said that by receiving the Bodhisattva precepts, one generates a vast amount of merits. This can be understood as follows. When you take the precept, means this Bodhisattva precept, a seed is planted deep in your consciousness. Because this seed has been planted for the benefits of all sentient beings. The natural consequence of its maturation, as you nurture it by keeping the precepts, is a growth in your compassion and a weakening in your propensity to do harm. With sustained cultivation, there naturally arises in you a tendency towards wholesomeness and perfection of virtue. As you increasingly go through life, acting on the basis of compassion, you will come to experience a sense of great security and stability. Why is this possible? Because, quite simply, you are no longer living your life in an obsessive, self-concerned, self-centered way, always worrying about your own well-being and feeling, constantly threatened and insecure because of your sakkayaditti delusion. But when you take this precept, you vow to liberate all beings. That's how you become selfless. You can sacrifice, you can do everything. As your life is dedicated to others, you become less and less concerned with your personal benefits, gain or loss. Consequently, you no longer live in fear and cease to be agitated or plagued by vexations, which are all caused by self-attachment. You achieve stability of mind. The stability and security that you so experience, then creates in turn an atmosphere of security and stability around the people that is palpable to other sentient beings. They will feel safe around you, and because you are of genuine compassion, never intend to harm them, but only try to be of help, they also feel a sort of joy in your presence. Thus, in an immediate and very concrete way, you, after receiving the Bodhisattva precepts, are benefiting sentient beings, a deed that generates a vast amount of merits. And it is in this way that we undertake the practice of the third set of pure precepts to deliver sentient beings. Remember? The third set of pure precepts to deliver all sentient beings. The observance of this precept actualizes our intention as put forth in the four great vows and set us decisively on the Bodhisattva way. Understand not? Now I read to you the three pure precepts and the four great vows. Okay, you listen. The three sets of pure precepts. The precepts that has been discussed above are common to both Theravada and Mahayana. in which emphasis is placed on the Bodhisattva's practitioner striving for the benefits of all sentient beings. The essential purpose of the transmission of the Bodhisattva precept is to arouse in people's mind an altruistic spirit of service to others and a firm dedication to the pursuit of enlightenment. Such spirit is called the Bohi mind. Bohi is a Sanskrit word derived from the same root as Buddha, and it can be translated to mean awakening or enlightenment or wisdom. The foundation of all Bohi mind is embodied in the four great vows of the great Bodhisattvas. The first vow is to deliver the innumerable sentient being, to cut off endless vexation. That is the second vow. Means, you know what is the second vow or not? To cut off the endless vexation means to endure and to actually persevere through all suffering or whatever difficulties that you encounter while doing the job of the three pure precepts. Understand? Because you have to vow life after life, come back and do this work, and you have to endure. Understand? That's why the Sabba Asavak Sutta, remember? There are things that you need to endure, and the Bodhisattva endure a lot more. Understand? You only endure the what? Very simple thing, the body getting sick and all that. This one you endure all the abuse, all the what they call great difficulties that come with civilization of very, very different type and beings of different type. And you manifest during different civilization with different type of what they call condition. And there are many, many things that you need to endure, sacrifice. And you have to do it life after life for aeons and aeons and aeons. So the second one is very important. You have to cut off, endure, and see through the endless vexation. That's why it's not easy, but it's also not difficult. Understand? When you have wisdom, when you have patience, diligence, you will be able to do it when your faith and your sincerity is there. Then the third one is what? To master the limitless approaches to the Dhamma. Means you have to cultivate all understanding. That's why like the Wu Liang Yi Jing say, you have to penetrate all laws, understand? All of the Dhammas. Not only the handful of leaves. For enlightenment to become arahant. That's why this third one is to master the limitless approaches to Dhamma. Means all of the penetrative Dhamma, the interpenetrating Dhamma that you need to cultivate is more or less unending. Because this is all on understanding the various truth. Then the last one is the vow to attain supreme Buddhahood, to perfect the 10 perfection. So these four great vows. First one is what? Deliver and liberate all sentient beings. Okay? Then to cut off all vexation, endure and persevere through whatever suffering, misery and all these things. You have to endure them all. Then you cultivate all understanding. So when you do that, then you vow to perfect the vows to be Samma Sambuddha. These four great vows will carry you through. And what you need to do every life when you come with the form in mind is the three pure precepts. Continuously avoid all evil. Then cultivate virtue. Avoid all evil is before you connect. After you connect, you cultivate all virtues, understand not? Then your work to liberate living being become very easy, understand not? So it's not difficult. Every life the form and mind come, you only need to cultivate these three pure precepts. Then these four basic vows, or great vows of the great basic vow of the Bodhisattva, they are also very easy. You vow to liberate all beings. You vow to endure, yeah, and see through all the sections. Then you vow to cultivate all of the Dhamma understanding so that you can walk this way with clarity, understanding, love, compassion, and all those things. Then the last one is you vow to actually become Sammasambuddha, means to perfect the 10 perfection. Then to help us actualize this 4 vow, we need to vow further to observe certain principles and guidelines that may help us conduct ourselves in an ethical and humane manner and purify our mind of the 3 poison of greed, hatred, and delusion. For this purpose, here we transmit what are known as the 3 sets of pure precepts, which contain the essential principle of all the different system of Bodhisattva precepts codified over the course of Mahayana Buddhism's long, rich history. Functionally, these 3 sets of pure precepts leads a practitioner to: the first one is to renounce all evil deeds by keeping precepts, means avoid all evil. Second is to accumulate all merits by performing beneficial deeds and cultivate all virtues. Then the third one is to work for the salvation of all sentient beings. The vows to keep these precepts embodied the spirit of all Mahayana Buddhist practice to stop evil, to avoid all evil, to do good, and to deliver living beings or all sentient beings. In a very real sense, this vow can be seen as the ultimate expression of the expression of all Buddhists in all era. So if this Bodhi mind cannot be planted deep in your consciousness, chances are, life after life you come, you will be heedless. You will suffer. You have no chance. Now you have the condition, if you don't determine sincerely, strongly, with the faith, with the sincerity and the diligence, to have this Bodhi mind, to take this Bodhisattva precept. Forget about whether you can do it or not. That is what the thought is trying to tell you. The blessing that comes with this determination is so powerful. And you know how Sakyamuni Buddha became a Sammasambuddha? Just because of one shipwreck, he realized he can only save his mother. And so many drowned. You remember the incident? He actually talked about it in the Chronicles, how he became a Sammasambuddha. It was during that time he vowed. He determined to liberate living beings, to save all living beings. Because he realized that life he can only save his mother, even though he can become an Arahant. That's why that resolve, that was the seed of Bodhi he planted. And from there onward, he fulfilled his vow and became a Sammasambuddha, Sakyamuni. So it is just that condition that you have to determine and plant that seed. And now you are in the sasana, that's why I told you the window is there. You miss this window when you come to realize what this is all about in your future. You are going to regret like anything, I tell you. Yeah. Because this is the best window. And to come across such a condition again, to be born as a human being, to have this type of condition to meet with the sasana, to be born within the sasana and have the condition to cultivate the Buddha Dharma with this type of clarity and understanding, and you don't make this vow and this determination, you are going to regret, I tell you. Yeah. That's why it's very important. It's not to say I try to encourage you or convince you. No, your life, you decide. Understand? You may say everything is anatta, but law of karma recognizes relationship. Understand? Every life you come, if I were you, this nature will never come with a form and mind that is deluded again. Understand? Because no point. You come here to suffer for one, to become afflicted for one, every life still like that, doing all these heedless things, playing around, joking around, taking life so lightly. You don't know how to seize upon condition to move and to determine and to make the vow. All these are very important, understand? So joke aside, your life, you better decide how you want to move and how you want to cultivate. And this is for all. Don't underestimate who you are. You will never know until you connect. Maybe you have planted the bodhisattva, but because you are never serious this life, that's why there is no condition for you to connect. But when you have the faith, you will see the transformation and you will come to understand that a very, very naive, sincere and simple cultivator can just connect like that and become some very great and special being in a very short time because of the faith, because of the sincerity and the perseverance. Okay, yeah? So does that answer your question, Jui? Or you got any more questions? No, it's okay, because at this point of time, you will ask that type of question, which is very good, so that it can bring about condition for this nature to share, understand not? To actually share with you all what this nature understands. Then the rest is up to you, understand not? Whether you agree or you don't agree, nothing to do with this nature, understand not? It's you.
No, but Brother Teo, we all do our bit to the best of our ability to practice love and compassion.
That one is the thought, Jui.
No, it's not the thought. When you see, you do. It's like when I went this time to Kashmir, they had a huge flood, which has since March last year. They are without homes, they are living in tents. The weather is -8-9 degrees at night. Small children, and you see how they go through life, and you just quietly give whatever you can to support them. And that is all. We never even knew. I mean, things like that are things that
so,
the normal
so that,
being
that
can
one,
do.
No, but that one is what? You are trying to explain what?
I'm just saying that compassion comes
to,
in different forms.
No, you are trying to explain that what you went through, you think that is love, that is compassion. You pity them.
It's not a question of pity. It's for each individual, the path is different. We walk it differently. We see things differently because of our karmic past. And
okay,
so
okay.
The conditions
you
that
don't
are
mind I intervene. I can tell you very clearly, it's still from the thought. Forget about the thought. Otherwise, it will hinder you. This type of thinking is a deviation, is very dangerous. Like the Sabbasavasutta said, things that are unfit for attention, you go and give attention. You realize or not, by asking those questions and holding on to those thoughts and view, you are having more thought, more problem. That is what Sabbasavasutta is all about. When you attend to things that are unfit for attention, the unarisen asavak arise, the arisen asavak become more. And then it will, through the back door, tell you, everyone is different. It sounds very logical, understand? But what did I advise you all this while? Don't try to know, do. Put to test, investigate, find out. You didn't even find out from the thought, from the views, the opinion, the condition. You keep on expressing all these things, understand? That is why I say it's from the thought, understand not? We are not here to argue, please, actually. This is what this nature understands. It has to share with you. There is no right, no wrong. You are entitled to your view. You can hold on to your views and the way you want to do things. That is still the egoic mind, understand not? End of the day is, he no you, he no me is a form of mind. Understand who this is. Use it, understand? Don't waste it, like just now I mentioned. If you continue every life to come and do this type of thing, and waste it through this type of thought and idea, you are going to miss out on this window. Understand? The key thing is just have faith, cultivate, investigate, and find out. Then make your own choice, decision. Not what people tell you, not what your thought tell you. Investigate and find out. When you have faith, when you determine sincerely and you connect, give it a try and see what happens. If you don't even want to give it a try and hold on to the thought and keep on saying all these things, you will never change. You will continue to be what you are. Understand? So that is what I want you to slowly develop the understanding. It's not about right and wrong anymore. Understand? Okay? Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Teo. But I think, please let it, I've listened to what you said.
Okay.
I asked this question to understand myself, nothing more than that. And I think from here on, there will be no more questions because I will then reflect and think for myself and not bring out any concerns of mine because it doesn't help here.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah? It's okay. Thank you. Okay, we will continue. Just now, I haven't finished the email. I just explained to the Singapore lady about this form of mind. That this form of mind, because it is just karmically conditioned out, a vehicle and a tool for the Buddhas and the Bodhisattva to use. So that's why that one is subject to nature's law. Condition arising, causal phenomena. Whereas the true nature is different. The Buddha nature, the eternal nature, they are completely the unconditioned. Then her question is, the second question is, some say Sakyamuni Buddha exists in Buddha land. Please comment. So this one is very clear there. There is no Buddha land for Sakyamuni. He is not like Amitabha in the sana. But I think what she wants to ask is, maybe in the next email, I think she asks in the next email. Okay, I will skip that question. The third question is, I didn't answer her. Is it? She said she was told an arahant will cease to exist within a week due to the collapse of the fire aggregate. You heard of this before, isn't it? I think it's in the Theravada teaching. They say if you become arahant or anagami, if you don't renounce and become monk, you will die within a week. You heard of that or not? You didn't hear that? It's in the Theravada teaching. I heard many people tell me. So I told them, if arahant is so fragile, then become arahant for what? What do you mean by renounce? The arahant is no more delusion, no more ignorant. You mean he must go and quickly ordain and put on a robe? There is no such thing. The arahant will understand because the arahant is not a being. It is the form and mind that realizes that one become arahant. But the arahant will know that one is not him. That's why you go Ajahn Chah there is a sign, Wipatpong, don't try to be an arahant. The moment you try, there is Sakkaya Ditthi, because that one, the form and mind, is not you. And arahant is already a being that has wisdom, that has the understanding not to be deluded by the form and mind, that understand clearly the three characteristics of all phenomena. That's why that mind is not deluded anymore. It will not grasp, it will not hold. Upon death, cessation, it will pass into Nibbana, Parinibbana. it were not conditioned through ignorance or delusion, a rebirth consciousness, because there is no more ignorance. So that question that is asked is from a person who don't understand. Yeah. But you can quote the text. So what? I like the way Chen Hua answered, because somebody asked him about Arahant and whether it's true or not, is it? Because an Arahant no more, is it? But Mahayana, Arahant can still go Bodhisattva way, is it? Then that guy wrote a question and asked Master Chen Hua. You know what his answer was? The first thing he asked him is, are you an Arahant? If you're not Arahant, forget about this question. You're wasting your time, understand? Understand? So the question is, when you don't understand the question you ask, it's from the thought, understand? That's why we move on, the next one. Then she wrote back to me, you know, this email is very interesting. She said, thank you very much, Brother Teo, for so kindly explaining it to me. Very abstract for a thinking mind. So she understand it. You know, the first time she wrote to me, last time, he asked all that type of funny question. I refused to answer. I said, it's better to focus on the cultivation. Please, I say, all these are from the thought. At first she don't understand. She still want to ask. Then the second okay. Then I reply in such a way, I think he start to understand. Then he said, okay, I will have faith in what you tell me. I just develop that spiritual faculty, I will cultivate. Then hopefully, I will develop understanding. Because I said, the moment you understand, all these questions are self-answered. The question will cease to be. Oh, she very happy. That's why now she very happy I answer her question. Because she shows sign that she has started cultivating and developing the faith. A lot of things she has written is so different from what she wrote about a year ago. Then now she wrote, is it? Please allow me to clarify, in a very good disguised way. He said, besides Buddhas and Bodhisattva, does it apply to anyone? I equate anyone to form a mind as mentioned in your second paragraph. She start to understand already. Who has been earnestly cultivating over many lives, get connected to the spiritual nature and become enlightened. Example, an Arahant. See, the question comes in a very good way, disguise. Then, second question is, going beyond form and mind, after Gautama or Sakyamuni Buddha's Parinibbana, can I say that he is the spiritual nature, still got a he, now, which is unconditioned. Oh, see? She got this two part, in a way right. But there is a he, is the spiritual nature. Now, which is unconditioned. Will he ever exist in form and mind again? That is a very good question. I would be most appreciative if you would kindly enlighten me. Then I can move on and continue cultivating with some peace of mind, as this question has long gone unanswered and in some ways bothering me. So because she's so sincere, I reply to her. I say, at this point of time, don't try to know and ask too many questions, because the more important focus is to cultivate. Then when you realize or awaken, only you can start to slowly develop the understanding of all this. Regarding your first question, yes, it also applies to anyone who had earnestly cultivated over many lives, especially those who have already developed some form of stable wisdom before, like all those great beings, like the Bodhisattvas. Regarding your second question, try not to get involved because it is a very controversial topic. According to most interpretation of the text, basing on what the Buddha has said after his enlightenment,
The Buddha's first word after his enlightenment were this, is also in our chanting book. Seeking but not finding the house builder, I traveled through the rounds of countless birth. Oh, painful is birth ever and ever again. House builder, you have now been seen. You shall not build the house again. Your rafter has been shattered, and your ridgepole demolished. My mind has now attained the unformed, the unconditioned Nibbana, and reached the end of all craving. They will conclude that it is his last birth based on their present understanding. But the actual understanding is very different, rather complex, and demand a lot of wisdom to understand. The Buddha's nature is eternally existing because it is part of the Triple Gem, and its vows had become a part of nature's law. And for those who know how to connect and develop affinity with it, they will know how to benefit from it. That's why Sakyamuni Buddha asks you to take refuge and develop affinity. I say, hope this helped. But she very smart now. After that, she wrote another letter. He said, thank you very much again, Brother Teo. Apologies. I didn't know that question 2 was a controversial one. He said, in the text below, I would infer that the Buddha was referring to not being born unenlightened again. See, she's more smart already, more wise already. Hence, no condition arising for my mind anymore. Very wise. But the unconditioned aspect is not eliminated. So she understands. Hence, manifestation in form and mind, independent of the builder, can still occur. Understand? Means without craving. Understand? Without delusion. Can come back again. He said, I think only lah. Unreliable thinking mode here. I told her, yes, this is correct. Then he said, the Buddha's first word after enlightenment were this. He said, seeking but not finding the house builder, I traveled through the rounds of countless birth. So she repeated that Dhammapada was 153 and 154. Then she said, yes, I shall now focus on my cultivation from now on and fully understand when I had the wisdom to do so. May I have the condition to seriously cultivate the 5 spiritual faculty and clearly seize the house builder to fully understand the ultimate truth. Oh, she's someone very smart, no? She said, please give me your blessings, Brother Teo. Thank you. Oh, smart lady. Then I replied to her, I said, hey, dear sister, I rejoice with your new understanding and resolve to focus on your cultivation as from now. And surely my nature will give you the blessing. And what you need to be successful is just these 3 things. Faith, sincerity, and diligence or perseverance. The same 3 advice and sadhana. By and with metta always. So this is what follow. Then there is another sutta. Another Kayamita road. This one, how come no question? I straight away answer her. This one, another Kayamita. I read to you the answer. I say, dear sister, I rejoice with your sincere expression of gratitude and joy below. Regarding that Sankara, I think it's here. Vina. Okay, I think I got printed out. Yes, I got printed out. She wrote to me first. She said, 19 October. Exactly on 19 October, Sunday. He said, today's triple celebration, marking significant milestone relating to you and the Kayanamitta, is most inspiring. That was our Kayanamitta gathering in there, 19 October. After that, she wrote this letter. When I struck the grand jackpot, meeting a Dhamma teacher like you, I was pleasantly surprised that it came with a great bonus too. The ready-made, sincere and caring Kayanamitta, so you all also involved, all obtained without any effort on my part. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Ayuwano Sukang Palang. And may all your good and noble wish come true. I know you do not have much time to read the attached sutta before your spiritual trip to Anandagiri on the 23rd of October. And after that, we are off to Amesan on the 2nd of November. There is no urgency, and please do take your time. My questions are in the blue box at the end of the attachment file. Attached file. Sankara Upapati Sutta. Reappearance in aspiration. This one I haven't shared with you all. This one is very, very good. Actually, there is a sutta that talk about this. Sankara Upapati Sutta. You know what is this sutta? No? You can vow and make aspiration to be reborn in any rhyme you want to be. The Buddha actually teach the monk how to do it. And this sutta I will start in the year 2015, I think. Next Tuesday onward. Remind me to share this with you. Then I reply to her. I said, dear sister, I rejoice with your sincere expression of gratitude and joy below. Regarding the Sankara Upapati Sutta, is a good sutta. And the Buddha did teach the monk at that time as to how they can make use of their faith, their virtue, their merits, their cultivation and wisdom to make aspiration for whatever birth that they might want to take or tend towards liberation of mind to realize Nibbana upon the dissolution of this five aggregate of form and mind. See? Just like what I have been teaching you all, you invoke power of merits, understand not? All of your merits, born of your faith, your virtue, your merits, your cultivation, and your wisdom, and your understanding, you invoke the power of all this wholesomeness, then you make aspiration for causes and conditions. It can bring about result. That's why you can even use it to make causes and conditions for a rebirth in any rhyme you want to. Even to become enlightened. Your questions are quite similar to that of the lady from Singapore who asked earlier on, which I had forwarded to you for sharing too. Do reread that email to develop a clearer understanding of the topic. So the question about Bodhisattva aspiring for Buddhahood reappear through vows and aspiration of karma. The answer is they reappear via five aggregates of form and mind through their vows and aspiration make after understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. So a bodhisattva aspiring for Buddhahood, they can reappear through their vows and aspiration, understand? Not through karma, understand? Karma is the karmic nature, understand? They have it already, perfected it already. But when they are bodhisattva, the true bodhisattva, means after they have gone through the arahantship, they renounce and they make those vows. Then those vows arise the causes and condition for them to come back. At that one, there is no karmic rebirth, understand? Every life they come, they will connect on. Unless they form their mind dissolve early. But even the form and mind dissolve early, it will know how to cease. Understand? Because at the age of 7 or 8, I remember, my consciousness came out. And before the consciousness came out, it went through that cessation. That time I don't know how to meditate. I don't even know what the Dhamma is. But I know how to cease that mind.
And I can feel the craving for. Nobody teach me anything about sati and all those things. But I know what is happening exactly inside there. Because the awareness is there. Funny. Normally the bandhi mind there is totally like lost. Understand? That's why they say before the living being die, you actually lose your awareness. Understand? Then karma take over. Understand? That's why they don't know what is happening. Sometimes they say lao huan xiong. Understand? They simply talk things. They simply say about they saw what and so what. They are not with their usual awareness state or conscious state. Understand? Karma has taken over. Yeah? Karmic conditioning has taken over. So most of these beings, if you are heedless, if you have delusion before death, your consciousness, your subconscious will take over. Karmic subconscious. Yeah? Then karma will decide. Yeah? So this one, the first question she asked, I already answered. Then the second question she asked is, a Buddha after Parinibbana can reappear anywhere via Nimanakaya? The answer is yes and no, depending on the Buddha's nature. The Buddha nature's understanding and decision or choice. Nimanakaya is just that karmically conditioned for my mind for that segment of their life, or what they call the functional body that perform the function of whatever being that they choose to come with. After Parinibbana, that form and mind of the Buddha then will not take birth, rebirth immediately, like normal Puttijana, because there is no more ignorance or delusion to condition the next rebirth consciousness. So the choice is upon their nature, understand? So it doesn't mean they have to come immediately. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, there is one saying, they say, Liao liao jian xing, chang zhu. How many of you can understand? Jian xing is... No, your true nature. Your true nature, xing. Liao liao jian xing means clearly, you realize that true nature, chang zhu. You can stay there very long. You can take a rest. Your nature can take a rest. You don't have to come back so early. Liao liao jian xing means with clarity you connect and realize the true mind, the true nature. Then that silence will go into cessation. Then that whole thing, when it happened, the form and mind will understand. When it come out of it, the form and mind is no longer deluded. Yeah. That is what Nibbana is all about. Yeah. It will go into cessation. Yeah. So this will complete all the emails. So do you have any question? Oh, exactly 10:15. So we are on the dot. Yeah. Any question? Anybody got any question? Can understand? Can understand? Oh, sadhu. Got a few head nodding. Don't worry. As long as you have these three things, your faith, sincerity, and diligence, no more doubt. Understand? You just cultivate. Yeah. Then make your own choice. Understand? Because the benefits that come with all this is tremendous. And you plant that seed of Bodhi deep in your consciousness, because you can determine very strongly with your understanding now. And you have to only develop that faith, the sadha, virya. Then you do it with very strong resolve. You know what is vow. You vow, you determine very strongly. In Hokkien, they say, chu chua. That one is taking oath, but this is vow. Hei guan ha, lo guan ha, lo guan ha. แล้วก่อนเนี่ยก็เลยช่วยจอยติ๊กโอ๊ตนะดิสันนี่พูดว้าวแล้วก่อนAnybody want to ask any question you can ask, yeah? Or you want to clarify anything? Joyce, how was your trip in Bangkok? Oh, I saw all the monk and the offering. Wow, sadhu, yeah.To stay at that hotel, huh? I'll pass the mic over from Jay. Thanks. Yeah.
I didn't know Dao actually put it in the WhatsApp.
Oh.
Until I came back. It was all right. Me and my family actually went for a family trip.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we spend our New Year Eve.
Calm down,
huh? Yeah, Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh.
So we have a few bone shaking. And
oh, very good.
I was invited for a morning dhana. I actually almost missed it because I couldn't get up. But I did manage to get at 6:40.
Okay.
So I actually rushed out and there was a toot-toot.
Oh, yeah.
At that early morning, normally you don't get a toot-toot
near
the
hotel. Not so early. Yeah.
So, well, but anyway, he wanted to charge me double. So I guess I didn't have a choice. So I gave him extra. I don't know why, because I was in a hurry. It doesn't matter. Oh. So when the monks were already there.
Okay.
And the hotel guests were also invited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but mostly family members. And they are the city monks, basically.So they're quite different from the Tangga monks. I was a little bit late, so I just went and sat down for a while, and they just started the blessings. The chanting is all the same as what we used to do. We used to listen to Ajahn Chalo give us all the blessing. They are all the same. It's quite interesting because I didn't know anyone there, and everyone thought that I was a Thai, I think. Yeah. So they all talked to me in Thai. Until Dao says, no, this is my friend from Malaysia, Sister Joyce. So it's quite normal, the same thing that everybody does or Pindapat.And then this monk actually, at the end of it, after the dana and all that, he actually, when everybody gets go and pay his respect to him, I was the last. And I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to do or not. So he actually calls me. He used his hand and put like that. Come. Kind of thing. You know? So I quietly went, and then he gave me a blasted red bracelet.He seems very happy. I probably look very tired and with my ruffled hair. I just wash up everything and I just put on my clothes up and off I went. Then I only realized my hair was in a mess. Yeah, so it was quite fun. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.But anyway,
thank you.
The blessing went to everybody in the
Sadhu,
community as well.
We saw it in the WhatsApp. Sadhu. Okay, if you got no more questions, maybe we can end. Before that, I just want to check with Pamasri. This Sankara Upapati Sutta, did I send you all? Oh, didn't. Means I haven't edited it. I forgot about this email.Okay, I will go through it maybe tomorrow or what. Then later on when I edit, I think I forward to you. Then copy to the lady who sent it to me. Then we print it out for sharing. Yeah. A lot of things to do already. We can slow this down. Yes, the other transcript coming out is very good. You all should thank Pamasri. She has...transcripted the whole book, who you are, what you are. And that is a very good book. It talks about the two nature, karmic nature and spiritual nature, and explain clearly what this For My Mind is all about. And also we had this Taiwan trip, pre-trip briefing. That one also very good. It will teach you how to prepare yourself for this spiritual trip and all those things. And these are all transcribed, and they are very good. So you should actually rejoice. We should be getting it before the end of this month. I had just finished the final editing. I pass it to... Oh, I haven't given you the book. Remind me. I know, remind me, I get it from upstairs. It's upstairs. I finished already. I want to pass you the hard copy like I promised you. So that you go and get it done up, then print out the thing and we all just go through final check. I think no more. After this, we can print already. Yes. I know. Then we brought quite a lot of this. Very minor type of amendments. Okay, the other thing that we need you to help me to do is the Heart Sutta, we finished compiling already actually. Now we are formatting. That one is very, very good, I tell you. That one once come out, I tell you, it will revolutionize the understanding of the Dhamma. That one is so beautiful. When I read through it again, I was so surprised that I spoke so much. All of my main teaching are all there. And you will be surprised. Since the day it started until now, it never changed. Still the same essence. Now you read back, you will laugh, I tell you. Because all these were there. Repeated. But you all didn't see it. At that time, you cannot catch it. Then now with that understanding, now you read this again, I tell you. It's like a jewel. I want you to do it before I forget. The first page, the cover page. You put in some, like you did for the 10-year one, the Kuan Yin. You're going to look for one beautiful one. Your Heart Sutta. No, the title is given to you already, but the Kuan Yin image to put inside. Yeah. I think the title is just Heart Sutta come Meditation Short Notes. Classes short note or something like that. The color one. You do like this, except maybe ring file. Because that one is very thick now. That one I think is about A4 size. Almost 3/4 inch thick now. And that one we are going to give you free from Kayanamita Fund. We Kayanamita Fund got a lot of money also. Stephanie told me got a lot of money. What about Sian Sai? Kayanamita Fund got how much money? Oh, you got more than Stephanie. Stephanie told me 7,000 something. I always say, whoa, how come we donate so much? Still got so much. Miss Kayanamitas are donating and we really rejoice. But this time we can do a lot of good things. But this book is very useful. I think it will cost us near to $10 a copy with the combined everything. And this one is your Bible, I tell you. We go retreat, no need notes already. You bring this one enough. And I tell you, you go back and spend some time. Then you will start to see what all this teaching is all about. And how it has been repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. But the good thing is, every time it's repeated, it gives you more understanding. And it's approached from another direction. Then even until now, nothing has changed. The essential Dhamma is still those few things only. Five hindrances. Five mental faculty, the three universe, the four noble truths, the three turning, the four foundations of mindfulness, the noble eightfold path. All this, they are still the same. Depth understanding is so different, it's so beautiful now. Then now when she listened to all those talks, when she do the transcript, there was so much joy, can't even sleep. Can just complete. That's why the faith can make a tremendous difference in your cultivation. If you don't have faith, the spiritual faculty cannot help you. The first spiritual faculty is Saddha, then only Virya come. Then with Saddha, Virya, Sati will come. That's why just do. Keep the three things up there. Faith, sincerity, and diligence, perseverance. Okay, we better do the sharing of merits. Huh? Yeah. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasadukalena sasa sampati hitocha fito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pusen, and all the great beings.